Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Krishna, 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 Hare Hare.
Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Prabhupada ki Jayam Vishnupada Paramahamsa Priraja Akacharya Astotra Vasasasi Shimanaja Tarayan Grace Abhaya Charananda Vinda Bhakti Vedanta Goswami Srila Prabhupada ki Jayam Vishnupada Paramahamsa Priraja Akacharya Astotra Vasasasi Shimanaja Divine Grace Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Srila Prabhupada ki Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrindaki Nama Charja Srila Haridas Thakur ki Vrindashitaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Pavanityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasari Gaur Bhakta Vrindaki Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gokopinasham Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhanaki Shri Vrindavandamaki Shri Navadvipdamaki Shri Gangamayiki Jamunamayiki Shrimati Tulsi Maharaniki Dantara Shrimad Bhagavatam ki, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga and Mahan Vishnu Padaya Krishna Krishna Bhattara Shrimati Vasana. Namaste Sarasati Devi Guru
Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we're reading from the 10th canto, chapter 6, text 35 and 36. Guess what the name of the chapter is? Huh? 37 and 38, okay. Surrender. Yeah, okay, 37 and 38, sorry. Guess what the name of the chapter is?
It's up there, isn't it?
No. Yes, the killing of the demon Putana. We really know Putana well now. Okay, so this is two verses together, and when we chant them responsibly, if each person could just chant one verse, that would be good.
Padyam Bhakta Vidhishta Bhyam Vandya Bhyam Loka Vandita Anganya Saha Samakramya Bhagavan Apitadstanam Yachitam Apisasvagam Avapa Janani Gatim Krishna Bhakta Stanakshira Kim Ugavo Numatara Padhyam Bhakta Vidhistabhyam Vandabhyam Loka Vanditai Angam Yasya Samakramya Bhagavan Apitadstanam Yatudam Yapisasvagam Avapa Janani Gatim Krishna Bhukta Stanakshira Kim Ugavo Numatara Vaishnavas? Padyam Bhakta Vidhistabhyam Vadyabhyam Loka Vanditai Anganyasya Samakramya Bhagavan Apitadstanam Yatudam Yapisasadam Avapa Janani Gatim Krishna Bhukta Stanakshira Kim Ugavo Numatara Padyam Bhakta Vidhistabhyam Vandyabhyam Loka Vanditai Angam Yasya Samakramya Bhagavan Apitadstanam Yatudham Yapisasagam Avapa Janani Gatim Krishna Bhukta Stanakshira Kim Ugavo Numatara Vaishnavis? Padabhyam Bhaktrihistabhyam Vandabhyam Lokavandhitai Angamyasya Samakramya Bhagavan Apitadstanam Yatudam Yapisasadam Avapa Janani Gatim Krishna Bhukta Stanakshira Kim Ugavo Numatara Gurukul? You can chant both if you want. Go ahead. Bhadyam Bhakta Hithistabhyam Vandabhya Loka Vanditai Anganyasya samakanya Bhagavan api tatstanam Yatudam yapi sasvargam Avapa jananigatam Krishna bhukta stamakshira Kim ugabo numatara padbhyam
By the two lotus feet
Bhakta hid stabhyam which are always thought of by pure devotees in whose heart the Lord is therefore situated constantly. Vadyabhyam which are always to be praised. Lokavanditai by Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, who are praised by all the inhabitants of the three worlds. Angam, the body,
yasyaha,
of whom, putana, samakramya, embracing, Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, api,
also,
tatstanam,
that breast,
Yatudhani, api,
although she was a witch,
whose only business was to kill small children, and who had tried to kill Krishna also.
Sa,
she,
Svargam,
the transcendental abode,
Avapa,
achieved
Jananigatam,
the position of a mother,
Krishna
Bhuktastana
Kshiraha.
Therefore, because their breasts were sucked by Krishna, who drank the milk flowing from their bodies,
Kim U.
What to speak of?
Gava,
the cows.
Anumatara,
exactly like mothers, who allowed their nipples to be sucked by Krishna. Translation: the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is always situated within the core of the heart of the pure devotees, and he is always offered prayers by such worshipable personalities as Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva. Because Krishna embraced Putana's body with great pleasure and sucked her breast, although she was a great witch, she attained the position of a mother in the transcendental world and thus achieved the highest perfection. What then is to be said of the cows whose nipples Krishna sucked with great pleasure and who offered their milk very jubilantly with affection exactly like that of a mother? Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. These verses explain how devotional service rendered unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whether directly or indirectly, knowingly or unknowingly, becomes successful. Putana was neither a devotee nor a non-devotee. She was actually a demoniac witch instructed by Kamsa to kill Krishna. Nonetheless, in the beginning, she assumed the form of a very beautiful woman and approached Krishna exactly like an affectionate mother. So that Mother Jasoda and Rohini did not doubt her sincerity.
The Lord took all this into consideration, and thus she was automatically promoted to a position like that of Mother Jasoda. As explained by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, there are various roles one may play in such a position. Putana was immediately promoted to Vaikuntha Loka, which is also sometimes described as Svarga. The Svarga mentioned in this verse is not the material heavenly planet, but the transcendental world. In Vaikuntha Loka, Putana attained the position of a nurse, Datri Uchitam, as described by Uddhava. Putana was elevated to the position of a nurse and maidservant in Goloka Vrindavan to assist Mother Jasota. Om Maganatam Rantas Yaganangana Shalakaya Chakshurun Mutam Jena Tasmai Shri Guravena Mahamukam Karati Vachalam Pangam Hangayate Girim Gat Kripa Tvam Aham Vande Shri Guru Dinatanama Manshakalpaturubhyascha Kripa Sinhivyega Chapatitanam Pavanendyo Vaishnavedya Namaha. So, Putana, we're becoming Putana experts here. Today, I would like to look at mercy a little bit, because it's interesting how, and we've discussed before, how Putana got such amazing mercy. It's interesting here in the purport that Srila Prabhupada says she wasn't a devotee and she wasn't a non-devotee. She was just a witch. She wasn't a non-devotee. She was actually a demoniac witch, which is an interesting statement, because one automatically would consider that a demoniac witch would qualify as a non-devotee. But Krishna says she wasn't a devotee or a non-devotee. So from what I could understand, what is meant there is that she wasn't specifically inimical to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or not the Personality of God. So she was just on order of Kamsa, and she was told to kill this person. So she went in her constitutional, job description was, she was a witch, she had skills in that profession, and she was sent to use her skills in the service of her boss, who is Kamsa. And so she was asked to kill Krishna. So her intention was to follow the order of her spiritual master, who was Kamsa, and to use her skills in his service to kill Krishna. So therefore she didn't qualify as a non-devotee, because she wasn't specifically trying to kill Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead necessarily. That's as far as I can get this statement. But Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, in his commentary on this verse, as reflected in Srila Prabhupada's purport, makes it clear that although she did get the mercy and she did become like a mother, she didn't actually get the same position as a devotee, Mother Jasoda, who was such a wonderful devotee and achieved so much wonderful association with Krishna, and all of it in a very positive way. But rather, Putana became an assistant of Mother Jasoda, and she achieved the Vaikuntha planets, and or even in Goloka Vrindavan, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says she became an assistant of Mother Jasoda. So she did get a lot of mercy, but she didn't get the same mercy as Krishna. It's interesting, in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita by Sanatana Goswami, this is one of the questions that his mother, the second part of the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, is a description of a conversation between Parikit Maharaj and his mother, Uttara. And the reason the conversation takes place is because Uttara is trying to understand the mercy of Krishna in a different way. The first part of the Bhagavatam, the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, everybody's looking to see, or somebody is looking to see, Narada Muni is going from person to person trying to understand who has received the most mercy from Krishna. And each person that is cited by the person before considers that he really didn't qualify to get any mercy. He didn't get any mercy. And he sends them on to somebody else. The second part of the Brihad Bhagavatamrita looks at the question from a different angle, because Uttara asks her son, who just heard the Srimad Bhagavatam for apparently slightly less than 7 days from Sukadeva Goswami, she asks him to give her, to be merciful to her and give her a summary study of what he just heard. And so in doing that, he tells her a story about Gopakumar. And one of the things she asks is, she says she doesn't understand how Krishna can be equal to everybody and award mercy to everybody when the gopis are obviously so much better devotees than everybody else. It seems like they should get better mercy than everybody else does. So why is it that Krishna gives mercy to everybody and everyone's in everyone's position, but and the gopis, why aren't they getting better mercy? So Parikshit decides that the best way to explain this to his mother is by telling him the story of Gopakumar. And Gopakumar proceeds through many, many different experiences in his journey, and ultimately describes to his mother from the perspective of a gopa, because Gopakumar becomes a gopa named Swarup. He explains to her the love of the gopis and how the reward for the gopis' unalloyed affection for Krishna is their intimacy of devotional service. And everybody is getting mercy of Krishna somehow or other, and they're satisfied with that mercy. That mercy, whatever they get from Krishna, is completely satisfying to them. But the gopis, they are never satisfied. They're constantly seeking the mercy of Krishna, and Krishna can't even repay them. It's impossible. So he says, I think you're going to have to be satisfied with just the service itself, because I really can't reciprocate with you. So if we look at mercy and we consider that here three recipients of Krishna's mercy are spoken of, Mother Jasoda, Putana, and the cows. And all three of them acted towards Krishna in the same way, or a similar way. Jasoda acted as Krishna's mother. She certainly nursed him, and she nurtured him. Putana nursed Krishna, and with a slightly different mentality. And she also receives Krishna's mercy to some extent, to a great extent. And the cows, they also had a tremendous loving relationship with Krishna. And Krishna sucked the nipples of their udders, and they got a lot of mercy also. So here in this purport, or in this verse, the question is, what if one is positively inspired to serve Krishna, then he'll get more mercy, because Krishna even gave mercy to someone who was not inspired or not positively inspired. So if he gave so much mercy to someone who was not positively inspired, then obviously he'll give a lot more mercy to someone who is positively inspired. But as we look through all the pages of the Bhagavatam, all the different stories of the Bhagavatam, and the Chaitanya Charitamrita, and the pastimes of Srila Prabhupada, we can understand that everybody is qualified to get Krishna's mercy. Some people get their qualification from the person who gives the mercy. Like Prabhupada said, we heard the other day, I have created your mercy. The pure devotee wanders the earth and distributes the mercy of Krishna. Lord Chaitanya came to the planet Earth and for the sole purpose of distributing the mercy of Krishna. And even Prabhupada said that Krishna, he spoke Bhagavad Gita and he revealed the absolute truth, but he also said you have to surrender unto him. Lord Chaitanya didn't even ask for surrender. He just broke open the ocean of love of God and sent people like Divyanga out to distribute the mercy to everybody. So, and we hear how the mercy is there. If we take it, it's there. Even Prabhupada said, someone once asked Srila Prabhupada, What have I done? How come I'm so fortunate that I'm getting so much mercy? And Prabhupada said, my mercy is available to everybody, but you are taking it and others are not taking it. And so in the same way, Krishna, and especially through the agency of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the Panchatattva, is making the mercy available to everybody. We see with Jagai and Madhai that they receive, that we always, they always become the example, the shining example of someone who possibly we could think didn't deserve the mercy, but they got it anyway. But all of us are examples of that, I think, that we don't really qualify, but we get the mercy because some great soul has compassion on us and gives us the mercy. Our parents give us the mercy, or if they're devotees, they tell us about Krishna. The devotees in general wander the earth and they distribute Krishna consciousness. Putana got the mercy, King Riga got the mercy, Magrari got the mercy from Narada Muni. He was a hunter. One would think he had no qualification to get the mercy. He wasn't even killing animals, he was half killing animals, right? You probably could sing the song. He was half killing animals. And so he was in a very nasty state. He was watching animals suffer. And still, Narada Muni had compassion on him and gave him the mercy. And he became a devotee. But by chanting, he became pure, right? So, and he developed love for Krishna. So, Magrari, the hunter, he became a devotee. And Prabhupada gives his mercy to everyone. So, no one is disqualified. But the question is, what does the mercy look like? What does the mercy look like? If we got mercy, would we recognize it? Right? Some people get books and they don't think it's very merciful. And maybe they get angry. And maybe they even tear up the book or throw it away. Or some people get the mercy and they don't recognize it, so they stick it on a shelf and 30 years later their whole family becomes devotees. I know somebody who got the mercy repeatedly in Italy. I think I told the story that he got the mercy repeatedly from the devotees. They would come every year. He was the mayor of this town on the sea, Viareggio, the name of the place. And he would they would come and they would say, "Could we have our Rathiatra here?" And he would say, "No, no way. We have tourist population. You're going to disturb everybody. No way." But every year that they'd ask him, 7 years they came. 7 years they asked him. 7 years they gave him a book. And 7 books he had on his shelf, never looked at any of them. Until he lost his position as mayor. Time's up, buddy, get out of the office. So he had to pack all his stuff, and he was putting everything in boxes, and he saw these books. What are these? I don't know where these came from. So he started looking, and I don't know if you know, but the books in Europe, they're very gilded, you know, they're all gold. They have gold on the cover and they're all fancy, fancy in French tradition. And so he started looking at the books and he became a devotee, and his wife also became a devotee, and they translate Bhagavad Gita back to Godhead into Italian. That's their seva. And they still live in Viareggio, but he's not the mayor anymore. But he's a nice devotee. So these... So would we recognize the mercy? Because sometimes the mercy comes to us in ways that we not only might not recognize, but we might not even feel good about, right? And we shouldn't think that the mercy comes once. You get the mercy and zap, the rest of it's easy. You just ride the mercy train all the way back to Godhead, and now you've got this book and, you know, you're flying. No, it's not quite that easy. There's challenges. Anyone notice? There's challenges. Again and again, you need the mercy. Sometimes you beg for the mercy and you wonder, where is the mercy? I want the mercy, but the mercy, I can't find it anywhere. So, and sometimes the mercy even looks like not mercy. Because we tend to measure mercy by what we consider to be materially comfortable. Right? We think that if I'm financially stable, if my life is happy, if I have a nice house, if my car didn't break down or it works or it's fancy and everybody looks at it when it drives by, or I get a tax rebate from the IRS, or everything is going cool, then that's mercy. that maybe he recognizes that mercy. Sometimes we think, who needs mercy? Everything's going great, right? But when things go badly, then we think, what happened to the mercy? I need the mercy. And we even pray sometimes when things go wrong, we pray for the mercy. That's what Queen Kunti said, I hope disasters happen again and again, because when disasters happen, then I pray for the mercy. But when they don't happen, I think everything's fine, and I don't need the mercy, because I'm actually quite together, and I've got control over everything is, you know, under control, and what do I need the mercy for? And so the devotee has to analyze exactly what he wants, because otherwise he might get something else. Because the part that we play in what happens to us is desire. That's our part of the equation, what we desire. And then based on what we desire, Krishna negotiates with the material energy, looks at our karma, and awards us accordingly what we deserve and what we want, tries to find some balance there. And the material energy arranges for us based on our desire. Our desire is what pushes the button and starts the chain. So if we're desiring, or if we're considering that Krishna's mercy should look like material health, wealth, welfare, good women, good men, whatever, then we may be finding that we're not really getting spiritual mercy. We're getting a cheap imitation. There's a movie, I forget the name because I always mix them up, but it's either This Is Life or Malak. I can't remember which. My girls used to watch it 24/7. And, well, not all the time because they watch Mahabharata the rest of the time. But this movie shows that there's one devotee who was from a little child who was abandoned in front of a temple. And so he was raised in the temple and he served the deities with all his heart and soul. And when he became a little bit of a teenager, there was a mistake. And one big donor noticed that a crown he had donated to the deity was missing a big diamond from the crown. And he accused this boy of stealing the crown, the diamond. And the boy was thrown out of the temple and accused as being a thief. So he had nothing. He didn't have parents. He didn't have anything. He was lamenting. I served Krishna my whole life, and then Krishna kicked me out. Because he's in charge of everything, so he kicked me out. What happened to the mercy? How come I'm not getting any mercy here? So he became actually quite inimical. And as he was walking one day, he heard some sadhu giving a lecture, and he actually interrupted the lecture. He said, this is all bogus. He said, I served Krishna my whole life. I didn't do anything else but serve Krishna. My whole life was dedicated to Krishna. And in the end, what happened? I got accused of doing something I didn't do, and as a result of that, I got thrown out of the temple. I lost everything. I don't have anything. Even I was carrying my parcel of few clothes that I had, and while I was coming here, someone stole it. I don't have anything at all, nothing, zero, 10 paisa he gave me. So the priest, the sadhu, he heard him, he called him up, and he said, you know, actually I can see that you have a devotional sentiment, because you believe that Krishna's a person, and you're wondering why this happened to you. Just understand that Krishna has a plan. So that made him feel a little bit better, and he took his 10 paisa and he bought a picture of Krishna. He offered some incense to it. And then he went to the temple and he offered some incense. And during that time when he was offering some incense, someone got sick, had an epileptic seizure at the temple, and he helped him. And the guy felt really good, so he gave him a lot of money. He became very wealthy. So that looked like mercy, right? He got the mercy. Now he had money. Before, it didn't look like mercy. He was poor, but now it looked like mercy. He was rich. So anyway, another person saw what happened to him and thought, well, that's a formula, right? You offer incense to Krishna, you get a lot of mercy. I'm going to try that. So she started offering incense to Krishna thinking, I'm going to get money. And she did get money, but that money was counterfeit money. And she went around, started spending it, and ultimately got arrested because the money wasn't real money. It was fake money. And because her devotion was fake, right? Her worship was not really worship. It was just a desire to get money. So she got the kind of money that she put in. What you give is what you get. So she gave false devotion, and she got false money. So sometimes if we ask Krishna for the wrong thing, if we sees that we have sincere desire underneath that material external desire, he may trick us, and he may take everything away. Yudhisthira Maharaj, in his discussion, actually it's a discussion between Parikit and Sukadeva Goswami. Sukadeva Goswami is a little, Parikit Maharaj is confused that how come Krishna, he's the reservoir of all pleasure, he's the ocean of, everybody's well-wishing friend, he's the owner of everything, he's full in all opulences, he has all wealth, all fame, all beauty, and his devotees, they have nothing. Most of them. They're very poor. And then Lord Shiva, who lives in a crematorium, covered with ashes from the crematorium, has snakes around his neck, lives under a tree in Kailash, doesn't even have a house. His devotees are very wealthy. I don't get it. What's the story? So Sukadeva Goswami explains to Maharaj Parikit that actually Yudhisthira asked the same question of Krishna himself. And after the Ashwamedha sacrifice, or just before the Ashwamedha sacrifice, he was wondering the same question: how come we're out here? We had to work so hard, or you had to work so hard to build this kingdom. And Duryodhan, he's got everything. He was the bad guy. How come he's such a happy camper? And we're not doing very well materially. We have to do the sacrifice and build these palaces and all this stuff. So the answer that Krishna gave him is a very famous verse where Prabhupada says, or Krishna says, that when I really favor somebody, I take everything away. Right? I take everything away. And then that person who's now become a poverty-stricken man, his family rejects him. They don't like him anymore because he doesn't have any money anymore. And also and when he has no friends and no family, then what does he do? He turns to me. So he becomes a devotee. So that we shouldn't think if I have money, that means that Krishna's not favoring me necessarily. But it means that I have to be careful. Because we look at Sudama Vipra. Sudama Vipra got money. He had nothing. He was Krishna's devotee. Dedicated, completely devotee of Krishna. Didn't even have food. Was poverty stricken. But he was still Krishna's devotee. And then his wife and family pleaded with him, you're a friend of Krishna. You know him from school. Please, you go and ask him for something. I can't go without something to offer. So they had to find some broken pieces of rice, and he tied them in his belt, and he went to see Krishna. But when he actually saw Krishna, Krishna worshipped him, washed his feet, so many things. And then Krishna saw, well, what have you brought? You must have brought something. Oh, I don't have anything. So he took the rice, and he ate one piece. Rukmini said, don't let him eat another one. I'll be indebted to him forever if he eats another one. Better he just stop now. He's already got more than the goddess of fortune. So, but he never asked Krishna for anything. Even though he went to Krishna, he saw Krishna, he got Krishna's personal darshan, he spent time with Krishna, he didn't ask for, he forgot totally why he had come there. He was just so in love with Krishna that Krishna, he didn't ask Krishna for anything. And he left, and he walked home, and when he got home, he didn't recognize his house. He had a big palace, and his wife was all dressed in finery, and he thought, who's this lady coming to meet me here? She's all dressed up and beautiful. And because Krishna gave him everything, because Krishna knew that he was advanced enough that it wouldn't change his devotional attitude. Therefore, he qualified. He could be rich, he could be poor. It didn't make any difference to him. He wasn't looking to Krishna for wealth. He was just looking to Krishna. And because he was just looking to Krishna, Krishna could give him anything. Poverty, wealth, it didn't matter. He gave him wealth. So we have to be very careful that we get what we really want from Krishna, and we have to make sure that in our heart of hearts, we just want Krishna. If we want anything else, it's going to get in the way, and it's going to slow down the process. Many times, when we're in distress, we pray to Krishna to change the external circumstances, instead of understanding that what really needs to be changed is our attitude and our desire. What we really need to do is we need to want Krishna. But because we want something else, we're suffering. Why? Because we see we don't have what we want, and therefore we're destined to suffer. Just like a kid in a store. He sees things that he doesn't have, and immediately he wants them, and that wanting, that desire, causes him pain. He didn't have it before, he was perfectly fine. Right? But he went in the store, and his mother was foolish enough to drive him near the toy aisle. And then immediately the kid flips. I had the experience with my grandson. Completely flipped out because he wanted everything. And he couldn't have everything. So because he couldn't have everything, immediately he was in anxiety. So what's the cause of the anxiety? The everything? No, the desire. Because the desire is there, then we suffer. So really what we need to pray to Krishna for is to help us remove the desire, to help us purify the desire, so that our only desire is to serve Krishna. Because to the degree that we have some material desire, some desire other than to serve Krishna, to that degree we will suffer. To that degree we're destined to feel a pinching, to feel some dissatisfaction, to feel some gnawing away. I was talking one day with Bhujan Prabhu, and I said to him, we were in Vrindavan, and I said to him, I don't remember what I was wishing for, but I said, I wish I could something. And before I even finished the sentence, he said, don't ever say that. He said, because as soon as you say, I'm wishing, or I wish I could have, or I wish I could still, or I wish I want, well, then immediately you're creating your next body. Immediately you're creating your next body. Krishna writes down, okay, he wants this. Okay, well, if we can't get it now, we got lots of time, don't worry about it. So, we'll arrange it next time. Oh, you want to be in the water all the time? Fine. We got fish bodies, we could see if we could arrange a fish body. So we have to be very careful what we desire, and we have to pray to Krishna for change, for helping us to become purified, that we go through our lives being grateful instead of hankering, and asking Krishna to change our heart instead of changing our external circumstances. Because the external circumstances, whatever they are, if we have material desire, they'll never be the right circumstance. We'll always want something else. And if we're self-satisfied, then wherever we are, whatever the external circumstances, we'll be completely satisfied and peaceful. So that's why we're very fortunate, because we've come in contact with the ocean of mercy. Srila Prabhupada, the ocean of mercy. Lord Chaitanya, the ocean of mercy. And all we need to do is adjust the heart. And then when the heart is adjusted, we'll see that mercy. The mercy is there for us. We're experiencing, we're getting purified. But we have to understand that we're receiving the mercy and be grateful. And that attitude of gratitude will immediately clear the clouds away and allow us to feel satisfaction. So I'll stop there. And already Madan Mohan Prabhu has his hand up. I didn't even put the dot on the end of the sentence.
When you were mentioning about those desires in the next body, is there a delete button? Is there a way to say, Krishna, all those desires that I said before, I didn't know what I was saying. I just want you to...
I plead temporary insanity.
It was just the influence of Moses. It wasn't really me. We're meant to be together.
You could try that.
Is there a...
The fortunate thing is that Krishna knows what's really you. So you can't, you can say whatever you want to say, but Krishna's sitting in your heart, and he knows if we've been good or bad. So therefore, we really have to purify the heart. We can't just say it. If we say it and it's sincere, what we're saying, it's really what we want, then Krishna will know that because he's looking from the inside out.
But there's that verse 118.7 that says, in Kali Yuga, if you think about it, you don't get the result.
Right.
If it's negative, you don't...
Yeah, but Krishna can calculate that into the equation. But in Lord Chaitanya, in the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, there's that verse, I don't know the verse number, maybe there's some person here that does, where Lord Chaitanya says, I see this fool that he's actually my devotee, and why should I give him what he wants, because it's just going to get him in trouble. I'm going to help him out to eliminate. So there is hope. We have that hope that Krishna will... But then again, it comes back to what I first said, that we have to be able to see that and not become angry. Because sometimes Krishna tries to help us out, he takes everything away, and then we get mad at him. Right? Because instead of thank you for taking everything away, I really appreciate that you took that obstacle in my spiritual life out, we get angry. What are you trying to do, you know? How come I lost all my money? How come my lover disappeared? When in fact Krishna is just answering what he heard and reciprocating with our true desire, and if we don't have the ability to perceive that, then we start over again. We go back to square one. Anybody else? Yes. Rangavati. Wait. Microphone, Rangavati.
Yes, very nice class. What about spiritual desires for a certain type of service, a certain place, a certain association?
Spiritual desires are better than material desires, but they're still desires. I mean, ultimately, when we achieve pure devotional service, we don't care where we are, what we're with, who we're with, what we're doing, blah, blah, blah. Like Srila Prabhupada, for instance, he came to America and he had no association. So he could have thought, I need association. And actually, I think there's a quote in the second book of the Lilamrita, where some woman, when he's preaching at Dr. Mishra's near uptown in Manhattan, she says, "You must really miss Vrindavan." And Prabhupada said, "Yes, I miss Vrindavan, but I have the order of my spiritual master." So when one reaches that level of pure devotional service, it doesn't matter where one is. One can be anywhere, because that's a pretty elevated platform. But and so desire for particular service, particular association, it's better than a material desire. But we might find that Krishna has a different plan. And we may try to fulfill that situation, and it may not be what we thought it was. So Krishna illuminates the desire by showing us that it's not really what we thought it was. That it's not really about any of those things. It's about our own internal meditation on Krishna. That's really what gives us the pleasure that we're looking for. And when we think about it, the need to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world, when we first became devotees, that was such a prominent mentality. We need to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. We get the mercy by distributing the mercy. That was our, kind of thought process, that we get the mercy by distributing the mercy. So when we had that mercy, we went all over the place. And we just, someone dropped us off somewhere, put us on a plane somewhere, and off we went, and that was it. We did it. But we didn't have any association. We didn't even know where we were going. So it wasn't like we could want to be there, because there's nice deities there, or there's a nice temple there. We just, sometimes it was like, this looks like a nice place, why don't you get off the train here and start a temple? So you can see that then we start to fear for our comfort zone, and so then we look for solace. And support is definitely desirable. We have to be realistic about what our needs are. And Krishna presents opportunities to us, and we have to decide what to do. But sometimes we may decide and then see that Krishna has another plan. We have to be open to that. So we take small steps, and then we keep reading the Krishna meter, or the Prabhupada meter, or the Guru meter, and we see, should I go forward here? Sometimes when we're in anxiety, when we're Sometimes when we're in distress, that distress is an impetus for us to look for Krishna's mercy, so it's actually good. When we feel that we're not doing enough, when we feel that we don't have enough of Krishna, that's actually a good thing. If we ever get to the point where we feel like we have enough of Krishna, we're in trouble. That should be an alarm bell, actually. So I hope that was helpful and not more confusing. Anybody else? Yes, Prabhu. Tulsi Rani. Are you pointing to her or you have a question?
I have a question, but I was thinking... Let me do mine quick. Behind my shop, there was a girl living.
Excuse me?
I said behind my shop in Gainesville,
okay.
A girl was living there. And she never came to the shop. Then one day she came. And she started to spend, spend a lot of money.
Oh, spend money, huh?
And then I was wondering, she told me she lived behind there and, she never, And then that night she died, the very night. So do you think she got some mercy somewhere or the other? I mean, you were talking about
what'd you sell her? What did you give her when she came into your shop? Oh, I guess there's some. Make sure the money goes to Krishna service. I think Tulsi Rani has a question. That's a big responsibility to make sure that money goes to Krishna service. That's her only link, as far as you know. Yes, Tulsi Rani, Devi Das, Prabhuji.
I'm a little confused. You mentioned how it's not good for us to even have spiritual desires, that we should...
No, I didn't say that. I said it's better than having material desires, but ultimately when we achieve pure devotional service, we have no desire except for serving Krishna.
But don't like the different residents of Vrindavan have desires to serve Krishna in different ways, and doesn't Radharani, and this is really high stuff, but don't they have different desires to serve him in different ways?
They have desire to serve Krishna in whatever capacity he wants them to serve him. If he told Radharani to become a cowherd boy tomorrow, she would. So she's not attached to her service, she's just attached to Krishna being happy. And she knows intuitively what will please him, but if he said to her, do something else, then she would do something else. She's just happy to see him happy. That's her happiness. It's not like she's attached to being one particular thing. But because she knows Krishna's heart so well, she can say, well, I don't want to go to Mathura because I know the relationship in Vrindavan is better, so come to Vrindavan. But she's not saying that for her. She's saying that for him because she knows that he's happiness with her in Vrindavan. Okay, I'll stop there. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.